be bringing you some readings from Matthew this morning. The first one will be from Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Then Peter came to him and asked, "Lord, how many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive him and let him go? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered him, "I say to you, not up to seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the accounting, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But because he could not repay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and his children and everything that he possessed, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, I will repay you everything.' And his master's heart was moved with compassion, and he released him and forgave him, cancelling the debt. But that same slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him and began choking him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell on his knees and begged him earnestly, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' But he was unwilling, and he went and had him thrown in prison until he paid back the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved, and they went and reported to their master everything that had taken place. Then his master called him and said to him, 'You wicked and contemptible slave, I forgave all that debt of yours because you begged me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in the wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers until he paid all that he owed. My heavenly Father will also do the same to every one of you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." I'll just read from Matthew 6, verse 13. "And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, letting go of both the wrong and the resentment." Thank you, Pastor Ollie.
That's a great start, isn't it? It's a wonderful start. Hey, if you're here for the first time and I haven't said hello to you yet, I would love to come and meet you after the service and introduce myself. I'm part of the team here at Door of Hope. I want to start with a story. A photo is going to come up on the screen in just a moment. I want to talk a little bit about this man. We'll see if that photo ended up there. Anyway, I'll continue the story. Hey, there he is. This man made a decision that will alter the relationship between him and his family for years to come. In 1989, this man left his wife, 4-year-old son, and 18-month-old daughter, moved to a different country, started a new life, new job, new home, ended up marrying again and started his own family. Never looked back, never wrote, never emailed to see how that family he's left behind was going. Fast forward decades, the daughter that he had abandoned decided to reach out because now she's having family of her own. And she wanted to do that connection again. So through some connections, some friendships, she was able to track him down and started a conversation just to understand what had happened. And while she was doing this, she knew that she had to let her brother know about this this discovery. But she also had this uncertainty in her heart about how her brother will take this news. Was forgiveness there? Would he even start getting angry at her for even trying to reach out after all these years. But she thought, oh well, let me try. In 2017, she sent a message to her brother with the contact details of their father and said, I found him. In fact, I've had a conversation with him for the last year or so. Church, the man I'm talking about is none other than my father. And you've also guessed that the sister is my sister. She lives in Sydney now. Was forgiveness on offer from me to my dad for walking out on us when I was only 4 and my sister was 18 months old? Was forgiveness on offer? More on that a bit later. Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. You see, there was something they noticed about Jesus and the way he prayed that they said that we want this. Because when you prayed, things happen. Of all the things they could have asked Jesus to teach them, I don't know, can I click my finger and there's some fish turn up so that I don't have to go fishing? Can I have the power of silence so that when my kids start yapping and that, I'll just be silent? Of all the things that they could have asked for, they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And Jesus taught them a prayer that we now know as the Lord's Prayer. If you've been following up with us, we've been doing a series on prayer. And we've been specifically looking at the Lord's Prayer. Week 1, Sandy laid a foundation for us talking about our Father, who He is, and our place with Him. Week 2, Craig spoke on interceding, your kingdom come, your will be done. Interceding on behalf of others, praying for His kingdom to come. Last week, we heard from Dorothy talking about our daily bread. Today, I'm going to be looking at that portion, forgive us our debt as we have forgiven our debtors. And the Amplified Version, it says, letting go of both the wrong and resentment. See, the fifth part of the Lord's Prayer seems simple enough, but it is easier said than done. These words of Jesus, forgive us our debt as we also forgive our debtors, is easier said than done. I'm sure you would agree. It is difficult. It is difficult words from Jesus. It is hard to understand and even harder to apply. Our basic problem is quite simple. You see, at first it would appear that Jesus added something into this prayer that does not belong there. Perhaps we might have preferred if this prayer read like this, forgive us our debt, and just stop right there. It will make sense. We understand that we need to forgive, we need to ask for forgiveness, we need to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness from God. We all know that confession and repentance is part of the Christian life. It's part of being a follower of Jesus, a disciple. You see, what makes this prayer so frustrating is that Jesus seems to drag something that doesn't belong when he adds the phrase, as we also forgive our debtors. When you read this, you'll be like, well, there doesn't seem to be any connection between the first part of this prayer and the second. It seems as if Jesus is saying, the way you treat other people, it's the same way God will treat you. On one level, that thought is puzzling, and another, profoundly disturbing. And yet, it still raises some deep theological question. Why did Jesus say that we should pray to be forgiven as we forgive others? Why would God tie himself to what we do here on earth? Is Jesus teaching that God's forgiveness is conditional? Is he teaching us that our forgiveness with God is somehow based on how we forgive others? If so, is that not teaching us that forgiveness is a work by which we gain God's favor? What happens to the great biblical teaching of God's grace? And when it comes to forgiveness, who makes the first step, God or man? And I think those are right and good questions to have. Indeed, this is a difficult text. Forgive us our debt as we forgive others. And because it is difficult, I'm just going to give you my conclusion right here. But that doesn't mean you get to walk out. So please, there's more to come, all right? Church, this verse means exactly what it says. And it can be given in one simple sentence. Unless you forgive, God will not forgive you. There is nothing hidden here. There is nothing tricky here. Jesus is saying that unless you forgive, you will not be forgiven. The 4th century theologian, Saint Augustine, called this text a terrible petition. He pointed out if you pray these words whilst having an unforgiving spirit, you are actually asking God not to forgive you. Think about that for a moment. If you pray, forgive us our debt as we also forgive our debtors, while refusing to forgive those who wrong you, this prayer, which is meant to be a blessing, becomes a self-inflicting curse. Jesus did not miss his words when it comes to forgiveness, church. When we pray, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, we are asking God to forgive us our sins according to the standard we have used to forgive others. In this particular part of the prayer, there are 11 words in the text. But for today, I just want to focus on one little one. And it's the little word as. You see, this word joins the first part of the prayer to the second. When Jesus says as, he's setting up a comparison between the way we forgive and the way God forgives us. The text says that we set the standard, then God follows. We establish the pattern, then God follows. When you pray this prayer, you're really saying, oh God, deal with me as I have dealt with other people. Deal with me as I have dealt with others. We are virtually saying, oh God, I've got a friend, I've got a sister, I've got a co-worker, a patient, a client. And I did some favor for them, and now they're being ungrateful, and I'm not going to forgive them. Now, God, deal with me as I have dealt with that person. This is what we're praying when we don't forgive other people. Church, I want to say this from right here. If you've confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you seek to be His, to follow Him, this is not an option. This is a command. It is obedience or disobedience. There's no two way about it. Unless you forgive, God will not forgive you. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Fern Seeds and Elephants, said this about this part of the prayer. No part of his teaching is clearer. There is no exception to it. Jesus doesn't say that we are to forgive other people's sins, providing they are not too frightful, or providing they're justifying circumstances, or anything of that sort. We are to forgive them all, however spiteful, however mean, however often they are repeated. And if we don't, we shall not be forgiving our own. Now, I just want to say this for a moment before I go any further. If you're in a relationship and you're being abused and that you're supposed to stay, please seek the help and the advice that you need. This is not what Jesus is saying. But as you're going through that, forgiveness has to be part of that healing process. Yeah. I just want to say that from the very beginning. Forgive us our debt as we have forgiven our debtors. I can already hear you ask the question, but that's all good, but does the Bible really teach us that God's forgiveness is somehow linked to us forgiving others? Well, in Matthew chapter 6 that we've just read, the prayer ended in verse 13, and then Jesus picked it up again. He has just taught them how to pray, but yet he picked up on this thing, on this word forgiveness. And in verse 14 and 15, Jesus said this: "For if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, and you nurture your hurt and your anger with a result that interferes with your relationship with God." You see, this is the heart of what God is getting to. It's not about a forgiveness. It's because you're making that an idol, and God doesn't want that. We're putting something before God. "Then your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses." Jesus picked up on that again, because he could sense, and even right here in the room, right here, probably like the disciples, Jesus could sense in them that they were very uncomfortable with this part of the, they were very uncomfortable with it. So Jesus picked up on it and elaborated on it in chapter 4, in verse 14 and 15. Jesus could have left it alone. In case you're still doubting about this, consider the story Jesus told in Matthew 18 that Will just read to us. "Then Peter came to him and asked," verse 21 from Matthew 18, "Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how many times will my brother forgive? How many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive him and let it go? Up to seven times?'" Now, when Peter said this, he wasn't trying to be funny or trying to, you know, just pull a number out. Actually, back in their time, the law, the Pharisee law was that if someone sinned against you, you can forgive them up to three times. And after that, you are under no obligation to forgive them anymore. No obligation. So when Peter said up to seven times, he was doubling it and even adding more. So he thought he was being generous. He thought, "Oh yeah, that's enough. I've done my bit. I mean, I've done so much." Do you get that sometimes when you thought that you've forgiven someone or you've done something, you've been generous, for the Holy Spirit to go, "Yeah, that wasn't enough. Got to do more"? And then Jesus replied, and it says 22, Jesus answered, "I say to you, not up to seven times, but 70 times seven." That is a reference back in Genesis. When Jesus said that, that was in a reference back in Genesis 4. You see, a descendant of Cain called Lamech said that if someone wrong him or his family, he's going to seek revenge 70 times seven. And Jesus is reversing that. That's what Jesus was doing here. You see, 70 times 70, that's about 490 times a day. That's per person. I don't know about you, I've got five kids, that's a lot. That's a lot. But church, the goal wasn't to get to the number. The goal was we should not be keeping score at all. That was what Jesus was getting at. And can you believe, would you be able to put yourself in the position of the disciples for a moment, going, "Is this guy for real? Like, seriously? What? Seven is enough. Now you're telling us what?" And Jesus continues, and he told them a parable and he continues on and tells them a parable about a kingdom of heaven. and told them about a king who was collecting his debt. And one of his servants owes so much, 10,000 talents. And that I was able to do with the help of the guys in the office, who were able to do some quick research and trying to figure out what does that 10,000 talent looks like in our world today. Well, we said that 10,000 talent at that time was roughly 60 million days of labor. That's how much he owed, 60 million days of labor. All right, if we were to bring it into our current day, that's about 10 billion Australian dollars. Now, you might be like, how did you rack up that debt? I don't know, Jesus didn't tell us that. So that's not what, I'm not focusing on that. $10 billion. And the king goes, you've got to pay me. And it says that, as we read, it says that he fell to his knees. In fact, he said he fell flat and asked for forgiveness. And says something moved the king. Something moved the king. He didn't just forgive him and go, okay, I'll give you more time, no problem. He canceled the debt. Go, you owe nothing. And he walked out singing, Waymaker, Miracle Worker. He was happy. And what did he do? As soon as he walked out the door, he saw someone that owed him much less. Says he owed him about 100 denarii, which is about 100 days of labor, which equals to 18,000 Australian dollars. Basically a parking meter money for someone who just spent $10,000, right? And it says that he started choking him. Say, pay me what you owe me. And that slave did exactly what he did. Fell on his knees and said, please forgive me, give me time, and I'll pay the debt. And we read that he did not. He threw him in jail. And some of the other servants saw what happened, and they went to report it back to the king. And the king said, called him, and this time the king was not up for a sub story. Some like, oh, I don't know. It says that king was angry, and he said that, I've just forgiven you such a huge amount of debt. Couldn't you have done the same? And church, that's the same question to us this morning. God has forgiven us so much. God has forgiven you so much. If you're taking this walk of Jesus Christ seriously, if you understand what you've been forgiven, what you've been saved from, what you've been set free from, Jesus is asking you today, don't you know what I've done for you? Can't you do the same for someone else? And says this time the king threw him in jail and said that, handed him over to be tortured until he could pay. But let's face it, how is he going to pay $10 billion when he's in jail? Here's a question. Whose forgiveness came first? It was the king. And the king in this story is our God. The servant, the unforgiving servant, that's you and I. I know that I do this. You know, I come here on a Sunday or perhaps 20 minutes in the chair in the morning, or I've had this incredible time with God, you know, asking, and I come out and I'm feeling like, wow, God, you are good. And then I go out and someone has put a scratch in my car. I go, where's your insurance company? You see, church, when our life is presented, when we're called in before God, our debt is so high, it's so wide, it's so much. And we fall before God and say, please forgive us. Please. For the sake of Jesus. And God looks on us, looks down on us. He goes, you don't deserve it, but for the sake of my son, you are forgiven. So what does forgiveness look like, church? What does forgiveness look like? Well, back to the story of my dad. I finally called him. My sister sent me his details. In fact, I was at a conference with some of our creative arts team in Sydney. My phone pinged and I looked at it and I said to the team, oh, my sister just sent me. It's weird. My sister just sent me stuff about our dad. It will probably take another couple of weeks, probably a month or so, to process how I'm going to deal with this. Am I going to be asking him all these questions? Am I going to try and put blame? Am I going to say, nah, I'm not ready for it, just go away? I had to process. I had to seek God's help. I had to seek the help of the Holy Spirit before I could. You see, sometimes many of us think that we've dealt with something until the situation creeps up again and we're stuck one more time. For me, that was what it was like. I thought, nah, I've dealt with it. I don't know him. I don't know what was growing up in that sort of stuff, but here's an opportunity. And so I was able to call him, but not before I spent time in prayer, not before I've asked the Holy Spirit to deal with the hurt that I was going through, the neglect, the pain. But now I've got kids on my own. Would I want them to forgive me when I've done something? The answer is yes. Church, I was able to make that phone call because I understand what I have been forgiven. I've been forgiven a $10 billion debt that I could never repay. And my dad, yes, he owed me $18,000. But I understood what my sin was, that I've been forgiven. I understand what I've been forgiven from, what I've been saved from. So I was able to pick that phone and made a phone call, and I spoke to my dad for 2 hours. And at the end of that conversation, I said to him, I forgive you. I actually have no hurt. I actually have no resentment towards you. In fact, I would love to meet my brothers and sisters who are back in Ghana. I'd love to come and say hi. Actually, as a matter of fact, my dad is a pastor. Now, he's got to work out his salvation and he's got to answer to God. But my conscience is clear where I stand, that I have forgiven him. Church, that is what forgiveness looks like. And above all that, we've got a great example in Jesus as he hung on the cross, beaten, mocked, as he was pierced, as he was crucified, an innocent man, the just for the unjust. He looked down on that cross and he goes and he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Church, we have a great example in Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be a church that wants to know people, that want to embrace authenticity, forgiveness has to be a major part of that. And as I close this morning, there's some questions that are going to come on and the team are going to lead us in song. I want you to just stay seated and reflect on this question. And after that, I'm going to come and lead us in a prayer of repentance.